This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Taco to go, taco to,
and a big queue.
Taco to go, taco to go.
We just review.
Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't
taco,
lose.
Taco to go, taco to,
this deal legit.
Taco to go.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Misses. Halliburton, the rebound. 9 seconds. They do have a timeout. Carlisle's going to let him play. Halliburton steps back and hits. Tyrese Halliburton trying to take Cleveland's heart. The
wow.
Indiana Pacers in a Game 2 stunner.
Unbelievable.
Well, there was last night, Tyrese Halliburton, game winner, walks it off against the Cavaliers. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today alongside Hugh Douglas. This is the Midday Show. As the Pacers take a 2-0 series lead against the one-seed Cavs last night, an incredible game. I mean, the Cavaliers were up the entire game. At the end, Indiana comes back. Halliburton down 3, goes the line, makes the first one, misses the second, gets his own rebound, Hugh. Goes back out behind the three-point line, step back three to win it, and now the Pacers up 2-0 in that series. Would be nice to have a guy like that on the Sixers.
Man, I'll tell you what. And then, you know, Tyrese has had a nice little series so far. You know, his dad getting out to the Kupo's face.
Yep.
Talking crazy. And for him to take two games over the Cavs in Cleveland is pretty impressive, man. Especially when you talk about going into that series, they knew what kind of heater he was on. And to have that happen, that's just crazy. That's real crazy.
It's just infuriating to think about. Because you think back to 2022, and the Sixers had Ben Simmons. And there was obviously not a huge demand for his services at that point, but he still had value coming off that Hawks series. And a deal that was rumored to be on the table was Tyrese Halliburton, essentially, for Ben Simmons. You could have made that swap. Instead, Daryl Morey, being so focused on his boy James, needed to get James Harden here. Need to reunite with James Harden, brings him in. Could you imagine how things would look if we had Tyrese Halliburton here instead? He's developed into like a top 20, maybe top 15 player in the league.
I mean, but I hear what you're saying. I don't know if that would have been the case here, though. With Daryl Morey being here. Let's be real. Let's be real, Kyle.
Fair.
Like, this organization, you could point to a lot of cats that we've seen in this playoff series that we probably could have touched or had some dealings with that you say, oh, we could have had him here, but Daryl Morey was still here.
Yeah.
So it's not – I don't know if that's the case.
Well, we're also just cursed. I mean, Al Horford came here, sucked, immediately went back to Boston, and is back to his usual self. Like, it just
– Yeah, so it's kind of hard to say, man. And then I go back to Joel Embiid. And I'm, you know, I hate to do that because I know people say, "Why you got to pick on Joel?" I'm not picking on Joel.
Go ahead.
But
I don't think anyone's that defensive of him.
Nobody's going to stop you here.
I'm not trying to pick on him, but Joel Embiid gets called to the carpet for his work ethic to get ready for the season. And his main focus was who told. Like that should tell you everything you need to know. And the fact that he was in such bad shape from his perspective that he went over the coach's head. He went over Daryl Morey's head to talk to the owner about his situation.
Right.
That tells you everything that you need to know about this. That's why, shameless plug, they need to hire me as a PR guy, man.
Perfect.
I can, like, listen, I could go in and have those hard conversations with these folks.
Well, it's amazing. You think that if Joel had maybe not gone and played in a tournament that had nothing to do with his actual
job. You mean the Olympics?
And rested his knee? Like, maybe he was supposed to? Maybe he would have been more healthy this season.
Tom, don't do that. It's the Olympics, man.
Oh, come on. I don't care about that. I care about the Sixers.
Yeah, I'm with TK.
But it's the Olympics, though, fellas.
Who cares?
He's not getting paid by the Olympics.
But if you got a chance to play in the Olympics for a country that you signed up to play for, because he played for Cameroon first in the Olympics, but then he came. But that's
neither
here nor there.
I don't care about his feelings. I care about the Sixers.
You know what I remember?
He's making a max contract for the city for Philadelphia.
And if that makes me unpatriotic, fine.
I'm just trying to tell you, it was a different thing, and I get that. You know what I remember from that whole fiasco? It's like after they won the medal, and everybody brought out their signature shoe or whatever.
Signature knee brace?
Well, signature shoe, and Skechers gave Joel his shoe. He was not happy about it. That was, to me, one of the funniest moments.
What, the shoe's not good enough for him?
I mean, look at it. Like, if you go, I don't know how to Google search Joel Embiid's, what is it called? The Olympic shoe.
Yeah.
And when they showed it to him, he just looked like, oh. It was a terrible shoe, man. It was a terrible ass shoe.
Well, I don't feel bad for him. But anyway, we're in this situation now where, and it's just the Halliburton thing's just a reminder of the move after move after move that the Sixers have screwed up over the years. But here we are this offseason, and next Monday we have the lottery. Maybe everything could look different. If Sixers get the number one overall pick,
Tyler,
I think
Hero.
We're...
Cooper
the Tyler Hero.
Cooper
Man. How do you confuse
players?
Them, Hugh?
I'll own that. I screwed that up.
Is that a you people right there?
No, I screwed that one up. That's my second one. I had the Brandon Marsh with it. I screwed that up. My bad.
Tyler Hero.
I said
very
Tyler
specific
Hero.
Mess
Cooper
up,
Flag.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if we get Cooper Flag, maybe we're a lot more optimistic in a week.
Or Tyler Hero. I mean, you know.
Yeah, or Tyler. Maybe we'll trade for Tyler Hero.
But, I don't know how I should feel about that, to be honest
but,
with you.
Regardless.
I feel attacked.
Regardless. The Sixers need to come up with a plan this offseason.
I have no legs.
It's just unbelievable.
I have no legs.
Like Tyler Hero. That is just perfect.
I got my white people mixed up.
It's even, better that he didn't do it on purpose. Like, if he did it on purpose, it would have been funny, but not as funny. You're just amazing, you. But the Sixers are going to have some interesting decisions this offseason. Do you move on from Joel Embiid? This is an interesting rumor that kind of came out the other day on Bill Simmons' podcast. Bill Simmons, Ryan Russillo talking about Joel Embiid and potentially being pursued by the Lakers.
Can you think of anything where if you're the Lakers, you go, now I have to think about this a little bit.
Embiid?
That's something the Lakers would like traditionally do.
Talk about get out of jail free cards.
I think the Sixers would do it in a second.
We'll give you all of our expirings and a first, and we'll get you out of the Joel Embiid business. Here's your get out of jail free card right now. You don't have to deal with them anymore.
I heard Embiid was available at the trade deadline. It'd be irresponsible to not even ask. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
You think it's surprising that Daryl would potentially float the idea?
I just hadn't heard that. I was excited about the info. Yeah. So, all right. That's my favorite Lakers move. All their expirings and two first round picks, and they get Embiid. And Philly just gets.
So not Reeves.
Reeves isn't in it.
Oh, Reeves isn't in it.
He's not in it. You don't even get Reeves. We don't know if Embiid's ever playing again. I'm like, I'll take Embiid. You can have one of our first round picks, and here's some bunch of expirings.
So essentially, the Sixers in this deal would get out of Embiid's contract, get a first round pick. That's pretty much it. I do it. I just want to get out of the contract and move on.
Who's going to do that, though? With a player that, like he said, you don't know how this experimental treatment is going to go.
I think a team like the Lakers, who say this is the last year of LeBron's career, and who knows if he's going to play another year, another 2 years, I think they might be desperate enough to do it. If this is LeBron's last year, they say, we're going to take a shot, we're going to try to put Embiid with LeBron and Luka for 1 year and just try it. I think that's something the Lakers would do.
I think the better fit would be Giannis, though, wouldn't it? Because isn't Giannis in a situation where he might not be with Milwaukee?
But Milwaukee's going to get more for Giannis.
So you're looking at the matchup as far as the expiring contracts and the number one pick and all the other good stuff.
Yeah, because like if the Bucks are trading Giannis, there's going to be a lot more of a market there.
Yeah, but you're taking a chance on a guy who missed more games this year than he played. And on top of that, has a bad contract on a, and you don't know what you're going to get. Like, you don't know how many games. I would venture to say he'll probably only play like 30 games next
year. How sad is it that we've gotten to the point where maybe we're thinking the Lakers wouldn't even do a move like that? And in this trade, like, they wouldn't even have to give up Austin Reeves.
You would probably, I would say Giannis would probably be the one. Like, no, I get what you're saying, but that to me would probably be a more feasible outcome because you don't know what you're going to get from Joel Embiid.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, when Ryan Russillo brings that up, now Embiid was not like eligible to be traded at the deadline, but it would lead you to believe that Daryl Morey's at least had like preliminary conversations about what they could do maybe this offseason.
See, now
bottom
that makes
line is
no
it,
sense,
if
though,
you
TK.
Can trade him, I trade him.
But see, that makes no sense to me because if, okay, you went into the season and he had a bad knee and you signed him.
Mm-hmm.
So now as the season progressed, you knew his knee was bad when you signed him. I can't imagine you signed a guy that has, he didn't play that much in the Olympics. You had to have your doctors check him out. And they probably told you, hey, man, that knee looks pretty bad. And you signed him anyway.
It was a bad decision.
So now you wanna trade him during the season? To me, that those ducks don't add up. It just doesn't add up.
The whole thing just seems so bleak. Kyle, where do you stand on this? Say that's the situation. And just living in this hypothetical scenario where the Sixers can get out of the contract, really get nothing back except get out of the contract. Yeah. Would you do it or would you take another shot with Embiid getting healthy?
And it was a first in there too, right? So, I mean, like at least that's something.
But a Lakers first is not going to be a great pick.
Sure, but it's a pick. And it's like some
grasping for straws.
Marginal piece. But his value is only going to get worse, I feel like.
You're talking about Joel's?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
So, I mean, like, I'm just so, like, over trying again with this group, Embiid and Paul George. Like, I don't feel like it's ever going to work.
I just want to trade Embiid, trade Paul George, and start over from scratch. Please, like, bottom line, please let us get Cooper Flagg or Tyler Hero
for
in the draft.
What are we going to get Cooper Flagg for?
Well, now I'm confused. Are we talking about Cooper Flagg or are we talking about Tyler Hero?
Cooper Flagg, right? Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
Cooper Flagg. That was on my phone.
Or Jokic. Yeah.
So but, now that's what we're doing.
I mean, if we get the number one pick, we'll get him. It's really simple. He's a great player. That would be incredible, but knowing our luck.
All look the same, don't
we? We're not going to get. Yeah.
God,
that was. That was
unbelievable. The optics of the situation, the you people.
Oh, it's bad luck.
It's a bad. Yep. I know, but I didn't mean it that way.
You people.
I just had Tyler Hero name him. I don't know why, but the name was in my head.
The best is when you said Tyler Hero, and we both looked at you, and you're like, immediately, like, what did I do? And then I dawned on you.
I did that. I messed
that up. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Also talking about the Phillies today. Have the Phillies become underrated? That's our Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing that others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Right now, 67% of the audience saying no, Phillies not underrated, but talking about that and whether we've been fairly evaluating them this year and looking at it and through the lens of this season, because obviously last year's last year, but have we been fair in evaluating the Phillies, what we're talking about today? 215-592-9494. Let's go to C. Gordon. What's up, C. Gordon?
Hey, thanks for letting me in. Good afternoon to you.
Midday.
Okay, now let me start by saying I saw Richie Allen play at Connie Mack Stadium, third base. So I've been watching this for a long time. And did you know that the Phillies have the most losses of any major league team ever? This is why Philadelphians feel this way.
Well, what does that have to do with Dick Allen?
I've been watching, what I'm saying is I've been watching the Phillies play for a long time. I remember seeing Richie Allen play with the Phillies at Connie Mack Stadium on Lehigh Avenue. I've been watching this for a long time. They have the most
congratulations.
They have the most losses of any major league team.
But how is that relevant to this conversation?
Because this is why Philadelphians feel this. We've been let down so many times over the decades that we see them play good ball for a minute. But if you look up the roster for the 67 Phillies,
Who cares about the 67 Phillies?
Look at the roster for the 67 Phillies.
What about the roster?
Because if you see the people that were on that team, they didn't win either. We've been watching this for a long time.
What does
we love them. We want to see them win.
Oh, my goodness. What does that have anything to do with this team?
Because we've been watching this for years.
So what?
Because you want to know why we feel this way.
No, he's trying to get, he's enlightening you.
Yeah, see, Gordon, I don't know what you're talking about, man. I really don't. I appreciate the call. Like, I'm saying we shouldn't be looking at last year as a reason to judge the Phillies. Now we're going back to 1967.
Look at the roster, TK.
Well, look at what the Phillies did 57 years ago, and that's why they're not going to win a World Series this year.
You know, I can enlighten C. Gordon and tell him that I've seen this team win a World Series, go to the playoffs the last 3 years in a row, go to the World Series Game 6 just a few years ago. A lot more relevant than the 1967 Phillies and Dick Allen at their base. I mean,
yes,
at Connie Mack.
And I think a lot of the... This is what kind of bothers me a little bit, is a lot of the reason, a lot of the skepticism toward this team, I just don't think has anything to do with this year and the way they played. It's all about, the last few years, what they've done in the past, why we're negatively looking at this team. None of it's based on what we're actually seeing now.
Well, I think it's a little bit. I think it's a little bit about last year, but I think mostly it's about, you know, all the bravado that you had early on and you didn't do anything. And like you've been kind of standing pat. And early on, I think that when the people look at the moves that you did make, they didn't look like they were panning out early. So now it's starting to turn a little bit. But again, we've been here before. We have been in this position. And that's why people are real skeptical right now.
Mm-hmm. So we got Robin Yount.
Yep.
And Dick Allen.
I love the references to that.
Phillies.
Yeah. Well, we got to show Dave Dombrowski the Robin Yount video show him the Robin Yount story, and that'll make him move Trey Turner in the field. 215-592-9494. But when you look at the Phillies, possible help coming from the minor leagues as well, because this is an area where they're going to have to find reinforcements from somewhere. And a couple guys in the minor leagues really producing right now, one being a guy we heard about for years in the past, Mick Abel. Here's what Dave Dombrowski had to say last night talking to Murph about Mick Abel and what he's doing down in Lehigh.
This has really been a big turnaround year for him. He's now come on. He's been one of the best pitchers at AAA baseball, and he's pitched on a consistent basis very well. And I'd say if we needed him, I would not hesitate to bring him up to big league level if we needed a starting pitcher at any point.
Now, obviously, the Phillies don't need a starting pitcher right now. I feel like they might need to start converting some of these guys to bullpen arms, because that's what you need. You don't need more starters. And that's the only reason why Lizardo moved in the offseason, which was a good trade.
Mm-hmm.
It was just curious, because that's not really what you needed for this team.
No, but I think that they're starting to, like, to your point, and one of those guys that they're not moving to the bullpen is definitely not going to be Ranger. I don't think that he's going to be one of those guys. But I think looking at this situation, you could never have, and I've always told you could never have too many arms. So, you know, you get enough arm in those bullpen. When you do have those power outages like we tend to have, then you have the arms that can kind of, you know, you can get in those games where, you know, if you get one or two runs, you might be have a chance to win those. I think that's kind of how they're looking at it, because for whatever reason, at the worst time, these bats for us go cold, and it does not help anything when you talk about the starting pitching not being where it needs to be and your bullpen. Who was it a few years ago, Kirkering?
Yep.
When you threw him out there and he blew up for us. So you don't want to keep – you don't want to – if you know that there's a propensity for your bats to go cold, the only way you can counteract that is get more pitching. So I kind of get where he's coming from when he says that.
Yeah, and another guy who's really been tearing it up down in AAA this year has been Otto Kemp, a guy who's third baseman, hitting a lot of homers.
That's an old school name.
Yeah, it is an old – it's good
Otto
baseball.
Kemp,
name.
Yeah, that's a good baseball.
Here's what Dombrowski had to say about Otto Kemp.
And Otto Kemp has just been a really good player for us. He's really continued to move forward. He's International League Player of the Month also. So he's hitting the ball with pop, driving in runs. He's a gamer. And he's on the verge of playing at the big league level too. So it's with those couple guys and Crawford and Rinconas and some of the other arms that we have, we've really got a good group of guys at AAA, which is encouraging for the organization.
And I think some of these guys, like I get he's a third baseman, I get Alec Boehm's there. You got to find a place to play these guys, because you have these players in the minor leagues who I feel like you're kind of wasting down there a little bit.
Yeah, and the guy that comes to mind that probably stayed a little bit long in the minors that should have been up a while was Ryan Howard. I remember when he came up.
Oh, yeah, Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy was in front of him, man, and it just took – and we probably missed some of his better years because he was down for so long. So, yeah, I get what you're saying when you say that.
And I think James Seltzer on the morning show made an interesting point this morning where it is – it is good, though, that these guys are performing the way they are. Even though you're not using them right now, maybe these are guys you can trade because they don't want to trade Painter. They don't want to trade Miller. They don't want to trade Crawford. That's why it is important for these other guys to kind of show that they're able to play at the major league level. And it's why, like, a guy like Otto Kemp, if he keeps hitting like this, I feel like you got to bring him up and play him a little bit in the outfield. Maybe you can play Max Kepler in center field a little bit and give him a chance, because if you're not getting great offense from one of your outfield spots, you know, and say Rojas cools off a little bit, you can't just let these guys sit in the minor leagues.
Yeah, it's always good to have options, man, especially when you talk about that power outage that we've had in the second half of the season. To get some fresh blood up here and try to inject some energy into this lineup wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah, definitely. Final segment of the show coming up. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. You want to get on the Phillies. Have we been too hard on them this season? We'll check in with you people before we get out of here for the day as well. And will this audio we're about to play make you feel better or worse about someone he's been pursuing? Ooh. I'm excited for this. We'll get to that coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It's that time of year again. Time to take a break from talking about bacon to share my grilling wisdom. It's official, people. It's grilling season. Elevate your grilling game with Hatfield Marinated Pork Tenderloins. They're flavorful and so easy to cook. Hatfield Marinated Pork Tenderloins are a game changer for any cookout. Tuscan herb. Herb, people, not herb. Tuscan herb. Honey garlic teriyaki, lemon garlic. There are so many flavors to choose from. Head to simplyhatfield.com for retail locations and put some Hatfield pork on your fork.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. This hour on 94 WIP is fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance from your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car to 94 only at Sunoco. Talking a lot about the Phillies today. Have we been unfair in the way that we've been judging them this year? Hugh says no. I say yes. Dallas Goedert, if you missed that earlier, Dallas Goedert returning to the Eagles, a one-year restructured contract. Interesting, he takes a pay cut from $14 million down to $10 million, but the Eagles work it out. And I think this was a really important aspect of the offseason moving forward is to keep Dallas Goedert here and keep the offense intact. You lose Mekhi Becton, but aside from that, this offense coming back
pretty intact,
in full strength,
yeah,
and intact.
Intact, yeah.
That's real positive for this.
Yeah, and the offense is, I think, is going to have to lead the way. You know, we talk about all the people that we lost on the defensive side of the ball and how well they played last year. So, yeah, the offense is definitely going to have to lead the way.
Yeah, so we'll get back to the phones in a second here as well. But first, I need to know more about this. An update on somebody that Hugh is pursuing here.
Auntie.
Okay, well, Kyle, can you fill me in on this?
Yeah, so Hugh's been pretty open about trying to link up with Joy Taylor.
Oh,
Hugh even wanted the Eagles to draft her nephew so that he could get in.
I was going to show around Philly, man. It didn't happen that way.
It's not a bad plan, though. I'd give him credit, for effort.
Yeah, but we don't like drafting people to the Eagles for selfish reasons. You know, it's name on the front, not the name on the back. Would think that an Eagles Hall of Famer would, you know, abide by that.
But Hugh, as he said earlier, he's a businessman. He's a business for himself.
It's always about Hugh. Always about Hugh. So anyway, she recently went on a podcast, and I guess they were asking her about her type, her dating preferences, and we'll just play this and see if Hugh feels any better or worse about his chances here.
I'm 38 years old. So, yeah, like I've been working for 20 years. I'm a professional adult.
So we can cut off a lot of dudes if you're dating, you're not dating, whatever. But like future, what's the age limit?
Age limit?
As far as youth to older. What's the youngest to the oldest? Like what's your range?
Telling myself right now. I would say right now at my age right now. Yeah, I would not date younger than 25, 26. Young men are very aggressive, and they do not care how old I am. And
wait, but Joy, I have to ask you, because this is a whole thing with women.
25
where they're
saying
that these young
man.
Men are really...
25 is grown, I but, agree.
Like, it's 20... I don't want to be clear here, because I'm not... I don't... Like, 25 is a grown man.
It's a grown man, Joy. Okay. What else is non-negotiable for you?
I'm less and less interested in religious men, if I'm being honest with you. I told Paul this the other day. I don't know. You hit me with the man of God thing.
Say God a lot on your podcast.
God?
Yeah, you'd be like, God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. No.
Oh, my God. It's different.
Oh, my God. It's different than being a man of God. If you're leading, I don't know. I've just had some. I've had some negative experiences with people that lead with their
religion.
How does that make you feel, Hill?
I mean, I don't lead with my religion. I don't lead with my religion. 25, that's, you know, I'm 50, so, you know. I mean, she has no issue dating older men.
You're double the age of where she started.
But she basically said no limit on the older part.
But technically, you know, if you've been following this story closely, she ain't got, like, the older men ain't a problem. So it's like she has a long spectrum of dating. The biggest issue that I would probably have trying to date Joy is, like, her appetite. Like, you talk like
watch yourself here.
I'm just saying, I'm keeping it clean, but she made it clear, like, that she has a salacious appetite.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm a little older. Them back to backs don't hit like they used to. Hey, Kyle, I'm just saying. Now, it might not be, you know, they might be few and far between, but we will give them the old college try.
Wow, the back to back.
Like, that would probably be an issue.
Hey, you're willing to put in the effort.
I put in the effort, though, because it's, you know, on them work nights, you know, when I got to watch the Phillies and whatnot, they probably won't be no back to back.
You won't be watching much of the Phillies, I imagine.
I know.
You'll get a pass.
First of all, I'm in Philadelphia. I take my job serious. I'd be like, Liz here, Joy. You got to calm down tonight.
You're going to tell her that?
Pop-Pop got work he got to do. He can't be, you know, the back-to-back, man. Hey, that's a lot. It's a lot.
So would you say you feel better, worse, or the same about that?
Do I feel? I mean, I'm okay. I'm in the, like, I'm in a good spot.
Okay.
I'm in a good spot.
You still feel good?
I feel good. Okay. I'm good. I'm in a good spot. Right. Just that them back-to-backs, though, you know.
Yeah.
We know you're out on the
air. I don't know. I'm negotiating with some folks. We'll see what happens. And, you know, I know
negotiations.
Spike, I know Spike and them cats in the afternoon show. They might have. I might have to get some assistance.
Well, they can help you out with the blue chews.
Oh, I didn't want to say it. I was trying to keep it vague, TK. Oh,
sorry.
Lather Vaseline on me.
I didn't think it was that vague.
I was trying to keep it vague. You know, it might be some insurance in the car. As I gave Kyle a drop, look, he back there playing the drop.
No, I think you got a shot, Hugh.
I mean, I thought, you know? Like, I think I would have liked my chances better if we actually had drafted the tight end.
Mason.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, even though he's in New York, you know, and I'm starting to build that bridge with the New York people.
Yeah, Hugh is thinking about going to about rekindling
okay,
his relationship with the Jets.
I mean, yeah, I'm a Jet alumni that has not been back since they traded me.
This would be great. Is all of a sudden Hugh has this deep desire to, like, repair his relationship with the Jets, and he's, like, showing up at MetLife Stadium.
That is the problem.
Yeah,
because the problem is this. I put that out there, right? And to be honest, I had talked to Joe. I was talking to Joe earlier about trying to rekindle that relationship with the Jets. But now, if I go up there now, it looks like I'm going to see Joy. You know what I mean?
I don't know if Joy is following it as closely, though.
Well,
she
Joy,
probably doesn't know what's going on.
You're more interested in her than she is in you.
Well,
right
see, because that's what I'm saying. Because I don't want people to be thinking I'm, you know, being that dude and chasing Joy. Because I'm too old to be chasing, man. I ain't chasing nobody.
I don't know.
I got standards.
If you're really gonna pursue this, you got to repair your relationship with the Jets. You got to ask them if they can offer you at a game.
Remind them that you won defensive rookie of the year for them.
Yeah.
I plant, like, listen.
Hey, it's like the 28th anniversary of my defensive rookie of the year.
See, Kyle set me up because I know no matter how I try to paint this, if I go up there, see that right there, that's what's going to happen.
I love the music.
And okay, since we're here now, I might as well be honest. There has been talks about me going to Jets camp.
Okay.
And it has nothing, and I know nobody's going to believe me when I say this.
Step in the right direction.
It ain't got nothing to do with Joy Taylor's nephew. It ain't got nothing to do with that. It's just that as you get older, I'm in my twilight, I just want to rekindle. Like, they did draft me. They did give me the opportunity to show that I could play at this level. So I'm just trying to rekindle that relationship. It ain't got nothing to do with Joy.
And well, you know some people.
It ain't got nothing to do with Joy.
Some people who know both of you guys. Maybe you could find out when they're broadcasting from Jets camp. You could conveniently time it. I know her. You go up there that day.
I ain't that shy. I mean, I know her. I just like, I just don't want to. You know what I mean? Because I know what people are going to think. They're going to think, oh, Hugh just up here because he's trying to, meet Joy.
You know, the thing is about the show, a lot of people hear us. We may have just found the solution for you.
What is that?
Well, he just called in and said that he has a guy to get you connected.
Okay, we have somebody who wants to help you out here, Hugh. It's Herb in the Northeast. What's up, Herb?
What's that? Hey, Douglas, I got it. One of the callers from L.A. is a friend of mine. He calls me. I talked to him.
Yeah.
I talked to him a bunch of times. Actually, I was on the phone with him for about an hour about 3 weeks ago. Goodness. He knows I told him to hook me up with Joy. I said, he knows where she works at or whatever, where the studio is. Supposed to be, I think, right near NFL, right near
it's getting a little creepy.
Right
it's getting a little creepy, Herb.
I appreciate the alley oop, Herb, but I got this.
I'm looking at a threesome. I'd like to get some of that myself.
I think there's a long list of males one day.
Oh my goodness!
Where have we gone?
You got anything else for us, Herb?
That's your fault.
I'll take the blame for this one.
I'm heading to go umpire a game right now.
Okay.
But Tom Kelly, relax. You're too jumpy, okay? The Phillies will be fine when they're ready to bring up the heavy arms. Don't bring them down. Don't bring them up. They're going to start hitting. I expect this series here, they can sweep them if they got the right hitting shoes on tonight to get again. Like I told Ruben Amaro, I had to talk with him last week, and he said he's going to talk with the hitting coach and the pitching coach. What I talked about.
Oh, he did.
And,
good.
Yeah, it's. These guys have been swinging at bad pitches. They don't foul the ball. I don't care if it's a fastball, a screwball, or a changeup, or a slider. You have to follow the ball into the area right there before you're going to swing. It's all about sizing up the pitch. You either know it's coming in fast, or you know it's a breaking ball or changeup. That's what their eyes, something's been going on with their eyes, and they just stop guessing on the pitches. Well, there's been a lot of guessing up there. When you're 2-2, 3-2, 1-2, you have to be able to swing in your zone.
Yep.
Swing in your zone.
I got you, Herb. Appreciate it. I'm sorry. Maybe that was me being a little jumpy.
Maybe it was a little jumpy.
Couldn't take any more Herbs. 2-2, 3-2, 1-2. What about if it's 0-2?
That might have hurt your chances with Joy way more than the audio we just played.
What? Being disrespectful to Herb?
No, Herb trying to get you set up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was some creepiness. I know where the studio is.
Yeah, I appreciate the alley-oop, but I've talked to her before. I know how to get in contact with her.
Yeah, that was,
I appreciate that
was a lot, man.
It was a lot.
Yeah, it was slightly creepy.
But you knew, where are the place you thought it was going to go?
Well,
when you put Herb on the phone.
You invite Herb, you get Herb.
Yeah, you let Herb talk enough, he'd get you in trouble.
Herb appreciate that peanut butter skin. He appreciate that.
Want to play with me?
Yeah, appreciate it.
George in Maryland. What's up, George?
Hey, what's going on, TK and Hugh?
What's going on, man?
I got a couple things about Sixers, man. Hey, you got one of the most expensive GMs, maybe this most expensive GM. You got two dead players, two max dead players, and you got a max coach. Every decision the Sixers made was financial. It had nothing to do with basketball's last all season decisions. They got to get rid of the owner. The owner, the Sixers is just an asset to him. I'm down here in Washington, D.C. area, and I hear him always talking about, the Commanders, this Commander, I want to make it feel home. He doesn't care nothing about the Sixers. Until they change the owner, the Sixers are dead in the water.
Yeah, I got to say, George, the love affair that Washington fans are having with Josh Harris is pretty sickening right now. I mean, we can't stand him up here. I know he's like some hero down there because obviously the Dan Snyder regime was so terrible. But yeah, it's pretty annoying to watch that down there.
So the Sixers are dead until he's gone. And then in the Phils, I'm with Hugh because after the Mets series, They blasted the Phillies. That was right back. We got a flashback from the playoffs. So the Phillies got it. Phillies got to show more than beating up a couple of bum teams on series.
Tomato tans beating up them tomato tans.
Because of the Mets series, you can't just watch that Mets series out of your mouth.
I hear you, George, and appreciate the call. But this is the thing: they haven't been bum teams. I mean, you won 2 out of 3 against the Cubs. Cubs are really good. They're the best team in their division.
Mm-hmm.
1-2-3 against Arizona. Arizona's a good team. They're probably going to be in the playoffs.
I'm not going that route. I'm not going that route. I just think that the fans are looking at this, and it's more about the power outages that we have towards the end of the year, because that's been the common theme here. Like there's a common theme, and I think that's where people are a little apprehensive about, you know, being excited about the Phils, because they've started off strong for the last 3 seasons,
mm-hmm.
and they've kind of curtailed off towards the middle of the season. And then it just got worse as the season ended, as we got towards the end of the season. So that's what I think it is,
yeah,
more than anything.
It definitely a lot of carryover from the last couple seasons. Now it is time, as always, to check in with you people.
You people.
It's time to hear from you people.
What do you mean, you people?
Yeah. Field day with that last segment.
Well, yeah, I'd rather not dip into those comments. Believe those where they are. Commendable work by UTK, and many have pointed out that you did a pretty good job keeping it together with the voice cracks. And this is mainly off the heels of a tough week or two for the people on this show.
Okay.
Whose voices have been cracking, and we've been, so I'll play a few examples here. Yeah.
Sign Ranger to a long-term
deal. No, he's not worth it, a long-term deal. Is that Joe?
That was Joe.
That was Joe.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then maybe, I don't know, is this that better or worse than this one from Hugh, though?
He's a good player, 17 and a half sacks last year.
I like Trey.
Excuse me.
That was Hugh? Sounded like he sucked on a helium balloon.
He's a good player, 17 and a half sacks last year.
I like Trey.
Excuse me. Never going to let that one down, man.
I like
so,
it.
So no screw-ups by you, at least in terms of the voice there. Few people wondering if the Robin Yount is the new Cartwright letters. I don't know if you've ever heard of this from Marple Mac.
Loved Marple Mac. Yep.
You know Marple Mac still hasn't called in because I got some choice words for Marple Mac. I don't know who the hell he dealing with.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because, you know, Marple Mac sent a package to me to give to Nick Sirianni. He didn't lost his damn mind. I'm still mad about
that.
That sounds like serious.
If you're listening, send Hugh another package that he can deliver to Robin to the Phillies about Robin Yount.
Man, that package is set right there.
Or Joe in the Northeast who's given Dave Dombrowski's letters about Cal Stevenson.
Or I forget who the caller was that suggested the Robin Yount thing, but I think it might have been Pop-Pop.
It was Pop-Pop.
Which is pretty fitting.
Of course, yeah.
We'll get that right to the Phillies organization here. The guy that can't even say the Commander's name right is lecturing people on pronunciation today.
Commodores.
Yeah.
Commodores.
Which, that one is a joke, but
let him have it.
The asterisk and the Tucson thing was tough by you today.
Yeah.
Tuscan.
Yeah.
Tucson.
Tucson.
It's Tucson.
Joe chimed in, and he was appalled at your effort as well.
He'll be okay. He will be okay. And the guy that keeps telling me it's the Commodores.
Yeah,
it's the Commodore. You will be okay.
Yeah,
and I will keep misannouncing enunciation, messing up the enunciation. Houston, Houston, Tucson.
At this time, at this point with the Commodores, I actually respect your commitment.
They can be the Commodores. It's fine. Because we don't respect them as a team.
I call the Commodores in front of B. Mitch. And you know, B. Mitch was about to whoop my ass one day when we were playing, and I still do it. And he corrects me every time. He said, "Man, what are you doing?" I'm like, "The Commodores, what are you talking about?" Like, yeah, so Joe or whoever it was, you on YouTube, you're not going to stop me from saying Commodore. I'm going to say it a few more times. Commodores, 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 Commodores.
Just no more Tucson.
There you go.
Tucson.
All right, one more on Hugh, and then we got to get to TK here because people were teeing off on Tom a little bit.
Oh, boy.
Hugh Douglas preaches manhood but won't even eat a full hot dog the proper way. That's a good point.
Excuse me, sir or miss. What is the proper way you eat hot dogs?
Like the normal way that everybody eats
hot
dogs.
That's not the hood I grew up
in. Hugh breaks up hot dogs to eat them.
Yeah, Hugh, that's what you do for children. That's what kids do.
Hugh's concerned about how they look phallic.
Oh, my God.
And that the kids will make fun of him for eating
them. Putting no glizzy.
You're more secure than that, Hugh. Come on, man.
I don't think he is.
I'm not putting no glizzy in my mouth. That's not going to happen. You break the glizzy up.
He's very sensitive about what the kids say about him, which you can't be the kids. You know?
I was watching my son play, right? And his mom went to go get some glizzy. She's like, you want a hot dog? I'm like, no. Give me no damn. How would you even ask me?
Now, would you eat a hot dog the normal way in private if it were just you?
No. Really? I still break it up. I still break. It's just what I do.
That's
like, I've gotten to the point
now
where every now and then, like, if the burger's too big, I'll break off pieces of the burger.
Well, they don't look as phallic as hot dogs. Yeah.
No, but I'm saying I just do it. It's just, you know, it's just one of those things that I do.
So you don't, what about like a cheesesteak or like a sub sandwich?
Break it up.
Break it up. That's
break it up.
Crazy.
Wow.
Dude.
Break
is,
it up.
Yeah, that is insane.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so I got three for TK, two that are going to make him feel good. And then I'm going to let him down pretty bad here. So, first guy said that you look like a 90s sitcom dad.
A 90s sitcom dad?
I can see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of, I guess.
Take that. Yep.
Yeah.
This one might be your favorite. So, that's TK. I always pictured him as a smaller guy.
Oh, wow. Well, I don't know if that might be an insult. Maybe I'm overweight.
You don't look fluffy, though.
Okay.
You don't look fluffy.
I think they were referring to, like, because you get portrayed as a shorter guy, right?
Well, I am sitting down.
That's
but
true.
But I'm not, like, freakishly short.
Yeah, no.
You know, I'm short, but I'm not freakishly short.
As Hugh would describe people as petite.
He's a petite man. Like, Moshe is a petite man.
I don't want to be called petite.
Moshe is a petite man.
I'm taller than Moshe. And that's good.
Taller than Moshe.
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes, Hugh. Come on.
Because I'd have never seen him standing side by side, but because Moshe is a petite dude.
That was an insult.
It was an insult.
Yep. I don't want to work with you anymore.
Yeah. This one might hurt. Somebody said, TK kind of looks like Jolly.
What?
Jolly?
Look like Jolly?
I don't think Jolly's a bad looking man.
No,
I haven't seen him in a while.
He's not a bad looking man, but he's also like 30 years older than I am. So, I mean, that's basically saying I'm old. I look old.
I mean, that means you look worn. They're probably saying you look worn.
Richie was coming after me this morning saying, oh, your hair's going gray, man. It's like, no, it's not.
Wow.
Like, my